Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ. And open your Bibles to Psalm 23 as we continue our series through Psalms. We'll be looking at that psalm, spending some time there tonight. It is good to see everyone here this evening. Hopefully you were able to spend some time with family and loved ones over the Thanksgiving holiday, and thankful for safe travels, and are grateful for all those opportunities. It's rare that there is so much focus around us on something that's so biblical as giving thanks. And so we're blessed to be able to give thanks and to know to whom we can give thanks. As we begin tonight, just as a reminder for these next several Sunday nights, as we sort of close out the year, we'll be looking at different psalms and thinking about their impact for us. And as I was going through and kind of planning this out, I tried to select several psalms that hadn't preached on specifically before in a previous series. And so I was kind of had a list of those, and a couple of weeks ago when I was putting together the bullets, and I'd sort of thought we would start with Psalm 23. And I decided about halfway through the week, maybe Thursday or Friday, I decided, well, I want to save that one for later and work on Psalm 51 first. And it never dawned on me to find out who was leading singing on that Sunday night. In fact, I didn't even think of it until I realized about two or three songs in that Carrie Hayes had done such an excellent job picking songs specifically for the 23rd Psalm. And so then I was kind of in a quandary. I was thinking, well, do I try to go up and just preach on the 23rd Psalm and see how that goes? But then I realized I'd given Sean a PowerPoint for Psalm 51. That would be confusing. And so anyway, as we managed to do that, I appreciate so much our song leaders and the thought that they put in. Jack is planning that tonight with songs, and thankful for Carrie. So I needed to I apologize right afterwards to Carrie. So thankful for all of those opportunities. We just had a couple of weeks to really focus in and get ready for the 23rd Psalm as we think about something that is probably very familiar to us. This is one of those psalms that's probably familiar even to people who don't know much about Scripture or aren't that experienced in reading the Bible. We know what the 23rd Psalm is, and we know what the image of a shepherd is. One of the things that I've had in my office since we got back from a last trip to Israel is just this little statue. They have all these kinds of things you can buy with olive wood, but what I particularly like, there were different versions of the shepherd coming back with the one sheep who had been lost. And there's something powerful about that image of a shepherd who cares so much just for one sheep that he would go and try to find that one that was lost. It sort of reminds us that being a shepherd was not a passive occupation. It wasn't something that maybe I might have imagined growing up, where you have just a chance to kind of be out in nature and relax a lot. When you were a shepherd, you were actively watching your flock. And so although there are many different ways God's described in the Psalms as a stronghold, as a fortress, as a rock, there are all kinds of powerful descriptions. There is something special about what we read in the 23rd Psalm when we think of a shepherd. And it may be that tonight, studying this psalm is something like what one author, Stan Mast, describes as a memory tour. As he tells the story, his wife was a special education teacher, and one of her students had been dealing with a severe head injury that was suffered in an automobile accident. And he was really having difficulty with his memory, with remembering things. And one of the strategies that his family did one summer was they went on a memory tour. They took him back to all the places he had been as a child, where he had really enjoyed himself. They took him to the playground at his elementary school. They took him to the beach on Lake Michigan where they'd had vacation before. Took him to Disney World. Took him to his grandparents' home. Many other places. And it was called the memory tour. The idea was if you go to those places, there's something about that that can stir up some of those memories. And you've probably had that experience. When you walk into a place and it's maybe someplace you hadn't been in a while and all of a sudden you have just a flood of memories. Just things just hit you differently. When you talk to someone you haven't seen in a while, there's something about that memory that is powerful. And so as we look at the 23rd Psalm, it may be that as we go through these verses, this could be a little bit like a memory tour in your own life. That you can think of times when you've seen these principles be true. When you have experienced things in your own life and you've seen the reality of what the psalmist describes here. And so even though we have a lot of images of God in Scripture and in the Psalms, I like to think about this image specifically. If we associate the psalm with David, I like to think about David as he's penning the Psalms and describing a shepherd, talking about an occupation that he knew well, that he understood. This would have been a powerful picture for David to depict his Lord as a shepherd. It wasn't a glamorous occupation. When he describes it even to King Saul before he battles Goliath, he talks about the animals he had to fight off. It was not something that was really seen as a great sort of upper level job, even in the ancient world. Sometimes they were looked down on. But it's a beautiful picture of care and love. And we often think about this psalm at funerals, and for good reason. It brings us a lot of comfort. It's something that we often read at funerals, that I often read at a graveside. And as we think about those associations, sometimes we might think about the 23rd Psalm associated only with death. But I think the reason that Psalm 23 is so important and so appropriate at funerals is it's not just about that, it's about life. It's about living. Not just how God leads us while we're living, but about the hope of dwelling with, of being in the presence of our God and living with Him in the future. So what we're looking at tonight is a living psalm. It's a psalm about life. And in his commentary on the Psalms, David Roper wrote that the more he studied the Psalm 23, he said there's something about that phrase, "I shall not want," that just kept standing out to me. He said the more I read it, thinking about the idea of not lacking anything. And he said it seemed to him that this was one of the keys to understanding the psalm. And as I was reflecting on that, I thought that might be just a good sort of key idea for us to focus on in this psalm. Maybe a grid that we could look at these six verses through. I shall not want. Now, this is an important time of year to be reminded of the contentment that can come from serving God. This is a time of year when we are going to be inundated with advertisements for things that we should want. You know, to convince someone that they need something you have, there's often the strategy to try to create some discontent. This is not good enough. What you have isn't good enough. You want this. And so it's really interesting, the contrast with the idea of there being someone you could serve. Well, you won't be in want in a world that's trying to convince us. There are all kinds of things that we need, all kinds of things that we want. It encourages discontentment, and yet contentment is what we see in the psalm. So let's just walk through the psalm together and think about some important principles here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Let's just stop here after the first couple of verses and be reminded of the fact that with this shepherd, with my shepherd, as he's described here in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack nourishment. I won't want for nourishment. With my shepherd, I won't be lacking sustenance. The primary job, one of the primary jobs of a shepherd, was to make sure that sheep were fed. And you may remember that when Jesus describes himself as a good shepherd in the Gospel of John, one of the contrasts is that he's not a thief, he's not a hireling, he's not someone who's just been hired for a job. He is a good shepherd. The sheep know his voice. There's something special about the responsibility that a shepherd has for sheep. And it's one thing to take care of ourselves and to think of how we're going to sustain ourselves. How am I going to keep myself alive? How am I going to keep myself fed and taken care of? It's another thing to have that kind of concern for others. You know, if you've been in charge, especially if you've been in charge of a large group of people on some kind of trip and some kind of activity, thinking through, how am I going to take care of each one of these? How am I going to keep up with everybody here? How are we going to make sure everyone's taken care of? There's something that's significant about that. And here, as these this relationship is described, with the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not lack for anything. There are just two Hebrew words that are rendered with those five English words, the Lord is my shepherd. This idea of the Savior that we serve being our shepherd, is my shepherd. As we read those words, we see something incredibly powerful there. In fact, if you just went through and read the whole psalm, and just emphasize the times when those personal pronouns are used. My shepherd. We talked this morning about the fact that we serve a God who cares about us. We see that here. We have sustenance from God. And the idea in this description of sheep being willing to lie down in green pastures indicates that you have an environment that has made them comfortable, that there aren't predators around, that they are hungry, they're not hungry, they're taken care of. And let's look at a contrast here, and you may want to just put a marker in Psalm 23 and flip over in your Old Testaments to the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 34. Because in Ezekiel 34, when God has a message for his people, he specifically has a message for those who are supposed to be spiritual leaders. And in Ezekiel 34, he describes these who were supposed to be shepherds, who were supposed to be taking care of God's people. And he says, as he describes them in verse 2 of Ezekiel 34, "Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock." So one of the chief criticisms that God has for the religious leaders that were supposed to be guiding his people was they were focused on themselves and they weren't focused on the very ones they should have been taking care of. And so we have a really interesting contrast in Ezekiel 34 and Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is painting the picture of what an ideal shepherd does. Ezekiel 34 is showing what happens when someone takes that model of shepherding, but they leave out the part where they care more about the flock than about themselves. A few years ago, Simon Sinek wrote a book on leadership titled Leaders Eat Last. And he got that idea from a practice he'd heard about in the Marines, where officers waited until all of those who had a lower rank than they did had their food before they ate. It was something that they practiced. They called it officers eat last. And he took that to describe how in a leadership capacity, leaders eating last is a reminder that we've got a responsibility for those that we're looking out for, that we want to take care of them before we think about taking care of ourselves. And even as we've talked in 1 Peter on Sunday mornings about the importance of shepherds in a congregation modeling themselves after the chief shepherd, we see that idea that when I'm wanting to serve God, I'm going to put the needs of others above myself. Well, in Psalm 23, you can follow the Lord as our shepherd. He will take care of us. He's caring for our needs. The opposite of that is what often happened with the leaders in Israel, who were thinking more about themselves than anyone else. With my shepherd, I will not lack nourishment. And so, as we focus on some of these principles, let me just ask you if you could take that memory tour. Is there a time in your life when something specific from God's Word sustained you spiritually? Maybe it was a passage that you read at just the right moment. Maybe it was a conversation you had with a Christian brother or sister who pointed you to a passage or said something about the Word of God, and there was something about the sustenance from God's Word that got you through a day maybe you thought you wouldn't be able to endure. When I'm following my shepherd, I will not lack nourishment. But of course, that means I'm going to have to be intentional about feeding on His Word. Lead me beside still waters. Let's look at verse 3 as we continue thinking through. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Not only are there green pastures, are there still waters that provide a lack of stress and calm and allow someone to be nourished, there's also a restoration of our soul because He guides me in the paths of righteousness, the right paths for the sake of His name. If the Lord is my shepherd, I'm not going to lack guidance. God guides His people. And guidance is vitally important. In fact, I think that's one of the things we're seeing in a world around us that is wanting to push away from any idea of absolute truth, that something is absolutely right or wrong, that there's an objective standard, that this is right and this is wrong, no matter what everybody thinks or says. We live in a world that wants to get away from that, but we're struggling with the effects of that. There's confusion. As people are saying, well, you can't tell me what's right or wrong, but they're also saying, you know, there are some things where there is something that seems right and wrong. I need some guidance. I need to understand how to navigate these challenges. If we're following the Lord as our shepherd, we will not lack guidance. It may be there are times we read God's Word and it guides us in places we wouldn't have chosen to go if it were up to us. Maybe things that we would rather not do if it were up to us. But if we're following Him as our shepherd, we'll have that guidance. Anytime you do any reading or thinking about shepherding imagery in Scripture, we're reminded that sheep are not the smartest animals, and they're not able to do a lot for themselves. They need guidance and direction. Now let's think back to this picture that's painted in Ezekiel 34 of the leaders who were supposed to have some shepherding responsibilities. God says, those who were sickly, in verse 4, you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the loss. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Poor shepherds don't provide guidance. And God is telling these religious leaders the result of their poor guidance is now you have them scattered everywhere. You have them scattered all over rough terrain, and that's not always easy for sheep to navigate. They didn't have shepherds that were taking care of them. And because of that, now they're open targets for all kinds of predators. If we're following God as our shepherd, we'll have guidance. If I'm modeling my life after the Lord that I read about in Scripture, I'll also be helping others along the way. If I'm serving in a leadership role, I'm going to be seeking to provide the same kind of guidance for others. If there's a flock that's scattered, that said something about the shepherd. In the ancient world, if you had sheep that had gone in a lot of different directions, that told you something about the one who was supposed to be taking care of them. And it wasn't positive. We will have that kind of guidance. The question is, how am I going to respond? Maybe you've seen this video I saw a while back. It's kind of making the rounds. And it showed there was a very narrow kind of passageway, almost like a ditch in the ground and the dirt. And there was one sheep that had gotten caught in there, and you saw someone reaching in and pulling it out by its hind legs, and it couldn't have made it out by itself, and it pulled it out, and then that freed, rescued animal was so excited that it bounced and it jumped here and jumped right back in the same place, just a few feet ahead. I don't know if you've seen that. It'd be one of those worth looking up. You see it, been delivered, and then jumps right back in the same place. The reason that video resonated with me is because I feel that way sometimes. You ever felt that? You ever felt like, okay, I finally made it through something, and now I'm back dealing with the same issue. I'm back dealing with the same problem. That was part of the plight of a shepherd, but it's also, I think, a spiritual message for us. We're going to have guidance. God will give us guidance. The question is, are we going to follow it? It's not going to do us much good if I'm not paying attention, if I'm not following it, or if I'm deciding that, okay, you know, I understand what you've said. I've heard what the Word has said, but I'm going to go a different direction. Well, then I'm not going to be able to look for those same results I get if I followed God's direction. But then the imagery continues in verse 4. As we continue reading, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When I'm following my shepherd, one thing I will not lack is his protection. He will be with me. This phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, may be one of the reasons that this psalm is often read at funerals. It's a difficult time when we're walking through a time of grief and mourning, when there's someone we love that's been lost. But this phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, seems to encompass sort of a whole category of difficult events, of lonely events. I don't know what that is for your life, but maybe on your memory tour, one of the places that you don't like stopping is one of those valley of the shadow of death moments. But we face them. We walk through those difficult areas. And in a world where if you were going to be strong and you were going to have your city safe, you needed to be up on a hill where you could see the enemy coming. When you were in a valley, that's when you were vulnerable. That's when things were dangerous, because others could see you and they had the higher ground, and all of a sudden you have to navigate this area. And Psalm 23 says, I don't have to fear when I'm walking through the valley. The picture of a God who can walk with us through difficult times is just so significant, because no matter how much we love other people, there are some experiences in life that no matter how much we love that person, we can't walk through that valley with them. We can do our best to support them, but we know what it's like when there's someone we love that's dealing with something, and if there were any way we could take that off their plate, if there were any way we could take that on ourselves, we would, but we just can't. They have to deal with it, and we can be side by side, but there are going to be times, there are going to be moments when we're not around and they're having to wrestle with and struggle with something serious. Isn't it good to know that the 23rd Psalm reminds us that even those places that people that we love have to go and have to deal with, that they don't have to go there alone? They have one who goes with them. The rod and the staff, used to guide sheep as well as to protect from predators, from preying animals. And then as we reflect on sort of the opposite of that, in Ezekiel 34, towards the end of that chapter, God tells these religious leaders who had failed in their role as shepherds that he would be the shepherd, that he would establish peace with his people. And so notice what verse 25 of Ezekiel 34 says. I will make a covenant of peace with them and eliminate harmful beasts from the land so that they may live securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the... Wait a minute, let me turn to the right page. I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing. and I will cause showers to come down in their season. They will be showers of blessing. Also, the tree of the field will yield its fruit, and the earth will yield its increase, and they will be secure on the land. Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bars of their yoke and have delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. They will no longer be a prey to the nations, and the beasts of the earth will not devour them, but they will live securely, and no one will make them afraid. When God describes the way in which he shepherds the people, he says it happens when that happens, you live securely. When that happens, you can trust that there's going to be food. When that happens, you can trust that there's going to be safety. There's just something beautiful about that picture of a God who protects us. The leaders of Israel hadn't done it, but God was going to do it. He was going to establish that. Now, as we mentioned this morning, following God during this life does not always protect us from difficult things happening. We often wish it did, and we often find ourselves wrestling with what happens when good people, faithful Christian people, have to deal with things, and we think, oh, couldn't we have been protected from that? Couldn't we have been shielded from that? But what we can know is, even going through the valley of the shadow of death, we can know that our shepherd is with us. And then the last two verses of Psalm 23 shift the focus a little bit. Instead of thinking about a shepherd and sheep, now it's almost like we have the host of a banquet that's here. Because now we have this same shepherd who guided the sheep through such a difficult place, preparing food. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Truly goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Another thing will not lack if the Lord is our shepherd, is his presence. His presence will be with us. And one of the blessings of following the Lord as our shepherd is that presence starts here and now. God is always present in the creation that's around us. There's a sense in which every time we see the sun come up, we're reminded of the presence of our Creator. But when we put Christ on in baptism, when I become a Christian, his presence in my life begins there in a special way that doesn't exist if I haven't made that decision. And the good news is that presence is never ending, because even when I leave this life, I'll enter into that more abundant state in his presence. And just the language that's used here, to be at a table, my cup overflows. That's so different than probably what the usual imagery would have been if you were thinking about an area where there'd be a lot of deserted areas. Maybe there'd be a lot of dry areas. It's not just that there's going to be a little bit. It's not just that there's going to be enough. My cup overflows, that there's more here than I could ever imagine. There was no scarcity in the presence of God. As we continue to reflect on the way God described himself as a shepherd in Ezekiel 34, listen to these words. I will establish for them a renowned planting place, and they will not again be victims of famine in the land, and they will not endure the insults of the nations anymore. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. As for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are men, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. How many times did God have to remind his people who he was and that he was with them? We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's kind of, again, interesting to try to classify this psalm, because it doesn't quite fit into a lot of the categories that we have for the psalms. We have categories of psalms that are purely praise, and this one does praise God, but there's also a sense in which it's describing the trust and protection of God. We think of lament psalms, which deal with the difficulties that people are facing, and the psalmist here, we do see difficulties, but it's not a lament psalm. It's a powerful description, and that ending is again hard for us to wrap our minds around. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Does that mean the temple? Does that would that have evoked in their mind, when you go to be with the Lord, you go to the temple? It may have done that. I think a helpful way for us to picture it is not in terms of a location, a specific place, but in terms of the one we will be with. That I will be in the presence of the Lord forever. That I will live forever. Again, it's about living. It's not just associated with death. It's about living a life, not just in this life, but in the next. And that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And we've talked about this before, but it's worth noting that the concept of loving kindness and mercy that we see described in the Old Testament is such a deep, rich word that we don't want to skip too quickly over it and realize it's that kind of loving kindness that will continue to be a part of our lives. Focused on contentment that we can come in the provider. One of the things that this psalm reminds us of is it's not just about the provisions themselves, because the psalm works on a couple of different levels, right? There are things that we can look at and we can say green pastures and still waters, and that sheep appreciate those things, but then we also think about ourselves as human beings. But the focus is not on the provision. The focus is on the one who's providing it. The focus is on the fact that the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And that because of that, all these other things fall into place. It's so easy to get caught up on the provisions themselves, or to focus on the physical, material things around us. And that's just easy to do. Maybe it's good to be reminded that we focus on the one who provides them for us. I shall not want, I shall not lack. There won't be anything that I need that I will lack. Now, we know there's a difference between needs and wants, and needs and desires, and things that we might like, or wouldn't this be great, but what do I really need? If we have the Lord as our shepherd, we will not lack the things we really need. It probably shouldn't surprise us that when Jesus shows up, one of the ways that he describes himself in the New Testament is as the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23 tells us, and the Lord as our shepherd gives us sustenance. The Lord as our shepherd gives us guidance and protection and his presence. And then when God would tell the people of Israel what the leaders were doing wrong, he's saying, you haven't been good shepherds. You've been feeding yourselves, not feeding the flock. You haven't been caring for them. You haven't been protecting them. And God says, I will do that. I will establish myself. And so then we read about Jesus looking at thousands of people that needed food. And Scripture tells us he had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the one who cares so much that he's willing to go after even the one. When he uses that example in Luke chapter 15 of the shepherd going after the lost sheep, leaving the others in open pasture to find that one. That's how deeply Jesus desired others to come to him. And it's that same kind of desire that's present today. Maybe this has been a memory tour for you, of times in your life where you've seen the Lord as shepherd and you've been able to take advantage of those blessings. It may be that this has not been a memory tour for you because you have not yet become a Christian. Maybe this is a preview of what life could be if you make that decision. If you need to put Christ on in baptism tonight, if you need to become part of his flock, part of his kingdom, we would love to talk with you about that. Maybe you just want to study more about that. We'd love to set up a time we could study with you. If you're ready to make that decision to turn your life around, confess Jesus as Lord, and put Christ on in baptism, we'd love to celebrate that with you. It may just be that you could use prayers and you could use encouragement. Let's remember who we're following and who we're serving. And if there's any way that we can help you, please let us know. as we stand and as we sing together.
Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us look to realms above. While the light from the throne shines for you and me, let us listen to the call of love. Zion's call.